Well, I want to begin today by reading a little story from 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now it came to pass that when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. But his sons did not walk in his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain, took bribes, and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations." So all the elders, the leaders of Israel, wanted to be like all the nations around them. The same problem we have today in this nation. Too many of our leaders want us to be just like other nations and forget how truly special we are. We are Israel, and we have forgotten we are blessed and who blessed us. Too many of our leaders are after dishonest gain, accepting bribes, and perverting justice. Verse 6, "But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, 'Give us a king to judge us.' So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, 'Heed the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them.'" So basically God told Samuel, he says, go ahead, listen to the people, give them what they want, because what they want is to reject me. So go ahead, let them have what they want. "According to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. Now, therefore, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So they have forsaken and rejected me since the day I brought them out of Egypt, and they have rejected and forsaken the leaders that I gave them, including Samuel. So go ahead, give them what they want, but warn them what they will get." So he goes on to tell them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, "This will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties. He will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, bakers. He will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. He will take your male servants and your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys, and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." So he just told them, the king will do whatever he wants to, whether you like it or not. And when you cry out to me, I won't hear you. So verse 19, he says, nevertheless, after he told them all this, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, no, but we will have a king over us. So, it is no secret this nation has forsaken God and rejected God, and that is the root of our problems. Instead of turning to God, too many people have put their faith and their hope in a man and in politics. Now, if you listen to talk radio and news and commentary programs, all you get is irritated, aggravated, upset, depressed, angry, frustrated, and it doesn't matter what side you're on. Because everybody's blaming the other guy. It doesn't matter what side you're on. So, and one of the things that, which is why you don't hear it, is some time ago, we all had a little meeting and of the speakers, and I asked them not to get into politics. For a simple reason, nobody sees eye to eye. And all it does is stir up problems. So we let the home office take care of all the details. We know we have the weekly report that Jerry reads, and you know, if you have access to the internet, then you know the weekly report is on the church website with all the connections of all the sources where they get all their materials from and everything. So you can read up on all that stuff. But again, we need to be informed, but you can just get completely frustrated if you dwell on all that stuff. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are God's people. Do not be conformed to this world. The more you get into that, the more you're going to become part of it. He says, be transformed by listening to God. Matthew chapter 5. You know, we've been going over the last month or so, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and verse 43. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? So, you know, he's telling us you got to bless those who curse you and you know, love those who hate you. You're supposed to be better than that, is the way to say it. You don't want to be like that. You want to be better than that. He says, otherwise, you're just the same as the tax collectors. Well, who are our tax collectors? The government. That's who our tax collectors are. The Democrats love the Democrats. The Republicans love the Republicans. It's like we're reading their role right out of here. How am I supposed to act? He says, don't be like that. If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? You turn on the news and you watch the congressmen up there on Capitol Hill, you know, they're the Democrats get together and they tell you what's wrong with the Republicans. The Republicans get together, tell you what's wrong with the Democrats, and they greet each other and dislike the other guy. That's what the politicians do. Verse 48 says, therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. We are to become perfect, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The kids, they know what transformers are. I know when Timmy was little, he had a couple of those transformers, you know, and of course they made a movie about it here not too long ago, but you know, you got this, it could be a little robot, and you twist this part, and you turn that part, and next thing you know, it's a jet fighter. Or you got this other robot, and he's doing this, and you turn this, turn that, and he turns into a semi. You know, so it's, you know, like the song says, Transformers, more than meets the eye. There's more there than what you're looking at, you know. So, and that's what God's telling us, you know. This is what you are, but with a little changing, this is what you can become. And we are to be transformed from what we were. Because we have been baptized and we have received His Spirit, we're not supposed to be what we were. We're not supposed to be part of the world. We're supposed to change and be transformed. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if we aren't careful with everything going on, we can get our priorities mixed up and forget what is really important. We get involved in all these things that are going on because all these things that we hear about in the news affects us in one way or another. The economy, it affects all of us. You know, some people have less work, some people have no work, which equals less income, and at the same time the prices are getting higher. We have more higher prices for food, gasoline going up again, your utility bills. They had an article in the paper where I'm at out in Sullivan that people are up in arms. They're just as upset as can be because they got their electric bill and they can't understand why the electric bill is so high. And so now the city is going around trying to check the meters and trying to figure out what the problem is. They can't find a problem. And almost like I got a four-room house and nobody's home all day and my electric bill's $700.
Oh,
you know, it can't be right, you know. And the meter checks out fine. We can't find a problem, you know. So, and there's several of these people that are protesting and they're upset and they just can't believe that all of a sudden their electric bills are so high. And so, you know, things are crazy. Your taxes, you know, I mean, it's every day it's in the news. Some new tax, some new plan to tax, and you just wonder, where's it going to end? Trying to afford clothes, rent, insurance, if you have it. You know, it's just how can you do some of these things? I haven't had insurance in almost 9 years, health insurance, but the government wants to tell me that they're going to make me take it. I can't afford it now. How am I going to afford it? Because you tell me I got to take it. You know, it's just the government wants to, if you're not aware of it, take over the health food industry and vitamin supplements. And there's two people who keep doing it. One's a Republican, one's a Democrat, and they've reintroduced a bill again to try and get the vitamin supplement industry under the FDA. And they've already taken, a lot of people aren't aware of it, but you can no longer, or they can no longer put a certain B vitamin in a supplement anymore because the government has taken it over and the FDA has declared it a drug. So vitamin supplement, the companies are trying to find other sources of particular B vitamins because the government's already messing with it. They have taken a form of omega oil, omega-3, and have declared it a drug, and it's identical to an over-the-counter supplement at 500% increase in cost. And that's the direction that it's going. It's crazy. It's getting into everything. And if you let that become your focus, then you get all irritated, aggravated, frustrated, upset. And add to this, wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, weather. Anybody get any storms last night? Last weekend? Earthquakes. The earthquakes are just about every day now. If you're paying attention, somewhere they had one this morning in Alaska. You know, so it's just they're everywhere, and all of this can divert your attention. That's what it does. Verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or riches, or the world. You know, we are in the world, but we're not of the world. Christ says he chose us out of the world. But when we get overwhelmed and things get to be too much, then we need to get back to the basics, like the Sermon on the Mount. Just get back to the basics and see what our Savior wants to tell us. Verse 25, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Your Savior is telling you over and over here, don't worry. That's the main point that he's stressing through this, is don't worry. What is going to happen is going to happen. Que sera, sera. What will be. Just keep yourself in Christ. Don't let it divert you, distract you, or lead you astray. Verse 26, "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" You know, we are God's family. We are his priority. The question is he ours? That's the question. We're his priority. Is he our priority? "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" Basically, what he's saying is, you know, he's almost like being facetious. You know, he's saying, what can worrying change? Can worrying change anything? No, doesn't change a thing. Might, you know, get you stressed out, make you sick, but doesn't change anything. Verse 28, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith. So, again, what is he telling us? He's saying if we're going to worry about these things, we have little faith and we need more. Because we shouldn't have to worry about these things. We should have enough confidence and enough of what we believe that we know God's in charge and he's going to do what he's going to do. And whatever we do isn't going to change that. All we need to do is stay in Christ and let him take care of everything. Therefore, he says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. And of course, the Gentiles are the nations, the world. That's what the world's involved in. It says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Tomorrow will have its own problems. Just take care of today. You know, by worrying and wondering tomorrow and the next day and next day, you know, tomorrow is going to have its own problems. Every day has its own situation that you got to deal with. Every morning you get up, it's a new day. New situations, new problems, no reason to worry about them ahead of time. But we do have to plan and prepare. I mean, if you know, I mentioned before that if you don't go grocery shopping every day. Most people, they make a list and they go, you know, once or twice a week. They plan ahead. They don't say, get up in the morning and say, oh, there's nothing in the house, I got to go grocery shopping. And they just get a couple of things, and next morning they wake up, oh, there's nothing in the house, got to go grocery shopping. You know, it's kind of like the movie Groundhog Day. Every day you wake up, it's the same thing, got to repeat it. We don't do that. And the same way, if you know there's a storm coming, you know, if you know there's a snowstorm coming, what do? Just sit there and worry about it, or do you go shopping and you get some food and water or whatever you need, so in case you're stranded for a couple of days because it's a bad storm or whatever, you know, you're prepared for it. So, you know, he's not saying don't plan and don't prepare. He's saying don't worry about it. Just do what you can do, and what you can't do, God's supposed to do. That's why he's saying don't worry. Just have faith. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. In verse 3, he says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So, and he says elsewhere, it's through much tribulation that we must enter into the kingdom of God. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. You know, some people have it easy, some people won't have it easy. He says, though, you therefore must endure hardship. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And what's he telling us? He's telling us that we're soldiers. We're in a war. He says, so you get involved in this life, it's just going to cause you a distraction, and it's going to cause you to get injured. It's going to cause you to get taken out. That's not what you want. You want to please the person who enlisted you. Who enlisted us? Christ. God called us. We're his. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he says, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You just can't do your own thing. You can't just cheat and think you're going to get away with it. I thought it was strange that it was in the news this week that the American team got the bronze medal for the 2000 Olympics. It took them 10 years to decide China cheated. So, wow, how long does it take to know how old somebody is? It's amazing. But again, you got to play according to the rules. That's just the way it is. And whatever, of course, we're all familiar with baseball and the things that are going there, and football. It's the same thing. There's rules, and you got to play according to the rules, or you don't play. And that's what he's telling us. We're engaged in a war. We have a leader. He gives us rules. He says, don't get involved in this life. Don't get entangled into the world. Don't conform. Be transformed. Ephesians chapter 6. Something that you're all familiar with. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high office. That's what he's telling us. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We are at war with the rulers of darkness. That's what we are. We are at war with spiritual wickedness in high office. And we learn that from Daniel chapter 10. That the demons are in control. They're ruling the nations. The demons are. They're giving their influence, putting pressure here and there, behind the scenes that we're not even aware of. Putting thoughts in people's heads to do this, to do that. He tells us to put on the whole armor of God and do everything that you can to stand. The evil day may be just ahead. You know, when all these things happen, it's very possible it's just like a little taste of what's coming. And it gives us time to see how we're going to react, to adjust, to say, well, maybe I need to do this, maybe I need to do that, maybe I need to change this. And it gives us a chance to see, well, I reacted this way, but this is really nothing compared to what's coming. How am I going to act then? I need to make some changes. I need to make sure I'm closer to God. Whatever the situation is, this is the time to be doing it, as you see how you react to what's happening. 2 Corinthians and chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, which of course is when that trumpet sounds, then our obedience will be fulfilled and we will be called upon to punish disobedience. When that trumpet sounds, we're going to rise to meet Christ in the air, and he's coming back to judge the nations. Who's coming back with him? Who's up there with him? He's coming back with him. That's us. You know, he's going to give instructions to us. Tell us, do this and do that, and we're just going to do it. We're part of the government of God once we're born into the family at the sound of that trumpet. Ephesians, again, and chapter 2. And verse 1. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So, of course, the prince of the power of the air is, he's referring to Satan. He's the ruler of the sons of disobedience. The course of this world, which is why the world is in the trouble it's in. Because again, Satan and his demons are ruling the nations. They're in there involved in everything, and God's allowing it. Because eventually it's all going to come together according to the prophecies, according to the plan, to bring about exactly the end result, which we've been learning about since the day he came to church. The tribulation, day of the Lord, heavenly signs, all this is what we're looking at and wondering, is this it? And it doesn't happen. And then the next round, is this it? And I remember back in the I think it was around 80, 81, when I heard, you know, if tribulation doesn't start by this time next year, I'll eat my hat. Well, I think somebody actually gave him a hat once, but then I heard, I remember hearing someone else say, you know, you think this is it? It looks like it's it, and then somebody repents, and God says, okay, I'll give it a little more time. So he has a schedule, he has a plan, and you know, we are to do what we can. So what can we do? We're just a little tiny group. What can we do? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, he says, therefore I exhort, first of all, top of the list, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, that we, it's for our benefit, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what he desires. He desires for everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But of course we know that, and he knows, they're not going to listen. But he still desires that that is what is going to happen. And he tells us, through Paul, the main thing that we should be doing, instead of getting upset, frustrated, aggravated, angry, he says that we should be making supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks to God for our leaders, and asking God, hey, lean on them, make them right, make them do the right thing, make them make the right decisions for us, that it doesn't harm us, that we can continue to live a peaceable life and do what is right without it being a hardship. Because we know when the time comes, and that point of no return, when, as I said before, when the all the players are on the stage, and it's no longer a dress rehearsal. When all the players are on the stage, dressed in their costumes, and the stage is set, everything's ready to go, everything's in line, everybody has their program, then Christ is going to walk over and take that scroll out of God's hand, and the curtain will rise, and he'll take off the first seal. There is no going back. That will be it. So until that time, we should be praying that we can keep doing what we're doing and just is be as easy for us as He will allow it. Because He is ultimately in control. He can change the mind. He changed your mind. He can change the mind of the leaders of this country and show them what is the right way and what is the wrong way. And if He chooses, He can take them out. But as we learned in Samuel, His choice has been, hey, give the people what they want. It's not going to do them any good. It's going to make them worse, but give them what they want. Maybe it'll make people cry out to God when things don't go the way they want them to. Because He is ultimately in control. He is in charge. Daniel prayed. He was in captivity. You know, he was, even though he was a ruler, he was in captivity. And he prayed. And God responded. It took a while. Because there's a war going on. An unseen war between the demons and the angels. And finally, when the angel showed up 21 days later, he says, hey, from the first day you started praying, he says, I was sent on my way. He says, but I had to fight my way all the way here. So the minute you start praying, God hears you. It may take a while for you to get the answer. It may not be the answer you're looking for, but God hears you. You have an open line of communication with God because you are His people. You are His priority. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 1, he says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So he's basically telling them, you know, you've been told all these things. You know what to look for. So you shouldn't be taken by surprise when this happens or that happens. You should be aware of it. You know, you should know these things. It should be part of your knowledge. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And, you know, I mean, that's always been part of what the church has taught. You know, the work of the watchman. I mean, there's always been some kind of watch going on with world events. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Again, going back to the armor of God. You know, these things are going to happen. What you need to do is make sure you have your armor on. Make sure you're in Christ and you're ready. He says it shouldn't come on, it shouldn't be a big surprise when it happens. You should be aware of what's going on because of everything that you've read, everything that you've been taught. Just be ready. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. And of course, this is continuing right from chapter 4, where Paul says, we which are alive and remain, because he's thinking Christ is coming while I'm alive. But it didn't work out that way. So, he goes on to say, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and those who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very lightly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. And that's, you know, that's the key, is to be at peace. And you can't be at peace if you're aggravated, frustrated, upset, angry. You have to be at peace. You have to be in Christ. You have to be transformed and not conformed. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. You know, and he's going back to the day of the Lord. You know, as we get closer and closer, we see all these things going on, people are going to get faint-hearted. You know, they're going to give up. They're going to be, how am I going to make it to tomorrow? What am I going to do? You know, somebody loses their job or something. What am I going to do? And you have to comfort the faint-hearted. Uphold the weak. You know, there's always going to be people who are weak in the faith, people who are brand new in the church. You have to hold them up and give them the benefit of your experience and knowledge and faith and let them know, hey, don't let all this bother you. Do what Jesus did. Look for what's beyond, for the glory that will be. You can't get bogged down by what's happening around you. You'll lose sight of the prize. And it's hard to be patient with people when you're frustrated, upset, angry, irritated. You know, you have to be transformed. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. That's hard to do, isn't it? Hey, I lost my child. Yay! I don't think he means it quite like that. But rejoice always in the knowledge of what you understand of what is going to happen. You are God's children. Nobody can take that away from you. That should make you rejoice all the time because you know what your future is. No matter what. You know what your future is. All it is, it's just a matter of waiting for that trumpet to sound. And you have to keep that in your mind. You have to stay focused. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Don't hang up on God. Keep the line of communication open all the time. Just always be there. Praying all the time. You know, you don't have to hang up on God. You know, you can pray all the time. You get interrupted. You know, God's on hold. Hey, waiting for you to come back. But he hasn't left the room. He's right there with you. He's everywhere. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, which is the last thing you want to do. And an easy way to do that is being irritated, aggravated, frustrated, upset, angry. It'll slowly take you away from God. You don't want to do that. Turn over a couple of pages here to chapter 2 and verse 19. And verse 18, he says, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. You know, Satan was always trying to mess with him. He couldn't do this and he couldn't do that. And of course, God allowed it. He had his reasons for doing what he did. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So don't let anything or anyone cause you to be irritated or upset to the point that you lose your joy or your hope or your crown of rejoicing. any time God's people don't do what they should, only one person benefits, and that's Satan. Anytime he can get you to do one thing that you're not supposed to do, or to not do one thing that you should do, he's the only one that benefits. He's like, yay, got another one, chalk one up for me, you know. And you suffer for it. Of course, you can go to God, ask forgiveness, and that's all erased, and move on. But when we don't do what we are supposed to do, he benefits. So don't let him find a crack in your armor. You know, we may think, it's this person or that person, but in reality, we are at war with the evil that influences. And it's everywhere. So, this nation, like Israel of old, wants to be like other nations. And in the process, is rejecting and forsaking God. And the result, the end, will be tribulation. Every once in a while you get a glimmer of hope. You think, well, maybe. If you caught the thing on the news the other day where, and I don't remember exactly, someplace out in California or in the desert somewhere or something, where they wanted to have a monument, supposed to be a cross, that was on public land, and they told them you couldn't put the cross on public land, and the Supreme Court overruled that and said you can do it. It doesn't interfere with anything. So maybe there's a little glimmer of light. But as we learn from history, he will give the people what they want. He chose us out of the world. He tells us to seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will give us what we need.